Well, the Supreme Court is releasing some of their findings. They did it again yesterday. There's much more to come. People are waiting for the Roe v. Wade story. But other very interesting U.S. Supreme Court decisions are out, and we thought we'd have our Detroit area attorney expert, Todd Flood, kind of go through some of these things and see what some of the thoughts are that maybe go behind these rulings. One that says the Supreme Court is ruling that public money can indeed fund religious education. Morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Paul W.
So, you know, for those of us who had parents who had to struggle to put us into parochial schools, Catholic schools, when I was growing up, and still pay their taxes for the public schools, they quietly did this. Nobody complained in a big way. There weren't protests and such saying, well, why should I have to pay if we don't put kids in the public schools? Be that as it may, now this Supreme Court ruling, a main tuition program violates the First Amendment for excluding religious schools.
Right. So this is the battle of the Establishment Clause versus the First Amendment. And the you can't discriminate under the First Amendment against religious schools. So Maine has rural areas where they were subsidizing parents and students to let them go to schools in other districts where there were schools, and they prohibited basically the money, the taxpayer money, going to that parent and allowing the parent to send their student or their son or daughter to a private school, hence also a religious school. Well, the Supreme Court said that that's a violation of freedom of religion under the First Amendment, and that you can't discriminate. If you're going to enact this statute, you must make it available for parents to be able to choose, giving the taxpayer money, to the parent to send their daughter or son to a Catholic or a sectarian school, a religious school. So the First Amendment, trumped over the Establishment Clause and the freedom of religion.
Well, and the argument against anything even remotely close to this is always the misreading of the whole idea of separation of church and state. It's got nothing to do with it. I mean, absolutely nothing to do with it.
Well, the court has chipped away at that. And when Berger wrote the famous case, he always put in the language that was always used and cited of excessive entanglement and using the Establishment Clause. But as the years have gone on, the Supreme Court has chipped away at that decision. And here, you know, you're not allowed to discriminate. If you're going to have this program within the state, you're not allowed to discriminate of freedom of religion and under the First Amendment. That's the ruling, and it's seems to be that's going to continue to roll through our country and using the First Amendment to protect freedom of religion.
I am, and this could very well be because this is from CNN, and I, you know, this is a headline. It may or may not have anything to do with what the Supreme Court said, but the way they word this is the Supreme Court says certain gun crimes are not crimes of violence under federal law. What does that mean?
So we have the Hobbs Act, and the Hobbs Act was basically a crime of violence and using a gun. So, and when you use a gun in the commission of a particular crime of interstate commerce, you could be sentenced and have an enhancement of either 5 years, or if there was multiple convictions and times, you enhance it up to 10 years. So, you know, with criminal defense attorneys and federal prosecutors, we all call that the 924C, right? It's the gun charge, this separate element. Well, here, this was the decision. This man was involved in a robbery of a marijuana seller, And the co-defendant ended up shooting this particular transaction, the person they were going up to sell or buy, he was going to buy the marijuana, and the buyer ended up getting shot, and they were going to take his money. Anyway, they ultimately said in this decision that the 924C, that gun, that extra gun charge, was a violation because of the way the statute reads and the fact that there was an extra element that wasn't proved or isn't used in the case. The defendant still has the 20-year conviction for the conspiracy of the robbery, the conspiracy of doing the act, and can be in prison for 20 years, but they couldn't enhance the sentence to add on an extra 10 years so that he would be serving the minimum of 30 years. So when you're convicted of a crime and the use of a gun, oftentimes, even in the state of Michigan, oftentimes you get what we call a consecutive sentence. You get the underlying crime that you're serving your sentence to, and if a gun was involved, you get the consecutive term that's added on to your underlying crime, that being the gun in the federal system. Here in this particular gentleman's case, there was an extra 10 years. Well, the elements necessary for this particular crime were not shown and were not being used properly in this particular case. And they vacated his 10-year sentence, his extra 10 years.
Amazing.
So the man's going to be in prison for 20, and he's not going to get the enhancement for the extra 10.
Todd Flood, Detroit area attorney, making some sense of the Supreme Court rulings. It makes for an awkward sentence. Supreme Court says certain gun crimes are not crimes of violence under federal law. Well, I would disagree. Anything you do with a gun to coerce people to do anything is a crime of violence, but I understand the way around it here. Thanks, Todd. Always appreciate it.